I can't put into words still how special it feels. It's such an honour to be asked to lead your country.
I'm under no illusion that being assistant coach and player at the same time is going to be challenging. And I look forward to meeting the challenge head on and doing my best within both roles.
1 minute, I've got tears coming down my face, and then I'm like, oh my God, this is it. And it was like Monster had taken over me, and it was pure elation.
A huge thank you to the Netball Show. You really have helped us at England Netball take our message to new audiences.
Hi, it's Andy. Welcome to a special episode of the Netball Show as we hear from Sheila Redpath. I know, pulling out all the stops. We have until the 1st of March to get our nominations in for this year's Golden Globes. Over the years, Sheila has had some fantastic times being a volunteer for England Netball. And I started by asking her how she first got started in the game.
Many, many years ago, Andy. Back in, yes, do we have to say it was maybe about 1969 when I moved to Bedfordshire, and Bedfordshire will be my home county for life. It's given me so much, and I started playing there. I then went into volunteering on Bedford committees, East Region committees, and then moved, well, I didn't really move anywhere apart from doing some volunteering work at England Netball round about 86, 87, where I travelled up to Victoria. CEO was Liz Nicol, and there was probably only two other people in the office. But that was all volunteer work. And then carried on umpiring, tutoring, assessing. Went to Canada in 1986 to coach, which I don't profess to be a particularly good coach, but they were desperate, which they must have been. You know, did that, and then came back in 1987, and the rest is history as far as work is concerned, because then I worked for England Netball up until 2017. But still I umpired, coached, umpired, assessed as a volunteer, fitted that in, as every other volunteer does, fits it in with the work that they do. I was just fortunate, and I'm still fortunate enough, to have been paid at times for a job that I love.
That's the thing, isn't it? And I mean, you mentioned there, but obviously that progression from league to county to regional to national, it's what it's all about.
It is, if you want to. And there's a lot of volunteers out there who I know, you know, have moved through those ranks. They've gone through, different levels of coaching, different levels of umpiring, and they've achieved the top. They've also achieved a top if they're not they're just a player, to become a chairman of England Netball, a president. But there's an awful lot of people out there that are, and I don't mean just, but they are the life and blood of our association, that they are the county umpiring secretaries, the league secretaries, the umpiring secretaries, trying to find umpires, the day before. They are the blood of this association. And if we didn't have a governing body of sport, if we didn't have a paid office, we would still play netball.
This is true, yeah.
Yeah. And, I've made so many friends from netball as a volunteer going around. And even in my work, I know a lot of the people, because one goes out and sees them on events and actually ends up assessing them and helping them in their umpiring. And I love it.
You're
even at this old ripe age.
Hugely experienced member of Team White as well. We had a chat with Gary, and he obviously was naturally grateful as well. So what was he like in shorts? No, that wasn't the question.
What was he like Gary is everything that any mother would be proud of, and any person who has been involved with him and seeing him in his career. When you retire from doing a practical umpiring, when you see people that you have helped move on the system, that gives me more pleasure when I see him umpiring and being at Commonwealth Games and actually at the World Youth Cup in whenever it was when he passed his international. I was there with Jan Burke, who he mentioned as well, I gather, and it's just great seeing somebody like that and some of the assessors that we're currently using work through the system and know that you sort of helped them a little bit on their journey. But again, they were volunteers. And umpiring, Gary is still a volunteer when he umpires.
And that's the whole thing about this. It's about volunteering, but We do it because we love the game.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. Oh, God. I mean, would some of us go out and stand in the cold and the rain? And a lot of matches are still being played out. This is happening in where I've now moved to, in Great Yarmouth. Tuesday night, Lowestoft League is out there, come rain or shine, apart from last Tuesday when the wind would have blown the posts away. But people are doing it. They're playing, they're umpiring, they're coaching, they're doing the scoring and timing. And the counties around the country that probably don't play their matches outside, well, that's where I really would want to go. But not to see the people where our sport starts, and it's all outdoor netball.
You must have been quite lucky in seeing some of the world's best and our English players develop as well over the years.
Oh, yes, without a shadow of a doubt. I hate to say it at times, that when somebody, if I'm involved in doing technical officialing or things like that, well, who played? And particularly with my own Super League club, Maverick, well, I'm getting to know them, but I'm always tending to focus on the umpire and everything. Although, from a playing point of view, Brighter Minor from New Zealand was our performance director a few years ago, but I was fortunate enough to be able to umpire her at the Worlds in Sydney in 91. And seeing some of our youngsters, Serena Guthrie and all of those, moving up from when they were a youngster, moving up to be able to play at this top level, fabulous. I mean, the opportunities that they get now, like the umpires, there are a lot of good opportunities for them. And it's lovely to see our sport progress as it has, to maybe three or four staff members back in 1987, and to the number of people that we actually have volunteering. And now look at nearly 100,000 people that we've got playing or involved in netball. It's fantastic.
I know volunteers that are there at the big events like opening games or matches at the Copper Box for England, and what they get out of it as well is nothing short of being there and being part of it.
And that's it. Why do they do it? You know, it's certainly not for the payment. It's certainly not, you know, for travelling expenses. They want to be involved. They want to be involved. They want to be around, you know, that England scene particularly, or when they go to a World Cup, meeting people who are like-minded with them, that they're passionate about the sport, and particularly the volunteers who work at those events or work in the local leagues. We couldn't do it without them. We could not play netball without that infrastructure of our county and leagues. They are amazing. And they don't always value themselves as much as they should do.
A lot of people are just happy enough with a quick selfie with a player or two, so that sounds good.
Oh, I can tell you that. I mean, you know, I was quite pleased that somebody actually wanted my selfie at the Copper Box.
Wow.
Just don't be so surprised, Andy, thank you.
Oh, sorry.
Somebody wanted it. And I said, well, no, you sure don't want Gary Burgess? Because if anybody asks me what have I done in netball, they don't want to hear the boring stuff that I've just been relaying to you. Well, actually, worked for England Netball for a while, but actually I've mentored Gary Burgess and I'm still doing it. Oh, and that, of course, lights them up completely, you see. And I'm proud of that, very proud of that. I'm proud to call him a friend.
Well, enough of him. We've already spoken about him too much. Tell me a bit about that Canada trip. That sounds amazing.
Well, it was. It came about because I'd been on holiday about 6 months before and just happened to look around and see there was some netball going on, and got talking to people. And then, you know, a few months later, I got an invitation from Alberta Netball Association to go out for 6 months, and stayed with, funnily enough, English people that are now back over in England, and spent 6 months working with the Alberta team, learning an awful lot from the English and the Australian people that were there, because you had to go out to a school and you had to lay the court every single time, you know, tape or chalk. One husband made the posts that we had to put in the car to go. And you don't realise how lucky we are at times. We always think, oh, Australia have got it made. Well, they've had years to produce the courts and things that they have. But going to Canada, to a country that netball was not a big part, only in Vancouver. And I did a world champion, well, their world netball Canadian championship, and made so many friends and just went out to a couple of schools, far east, oh God, far, further up north in Alberta, which was horrific with the snow and everything. And gradually, people there are starting to, you know, respect netball a lot more. And I learned, as I say, I learned a lot, but I knew I didn't want to do coaching. I wanted to make sure that umpiring was where I was going to go. Mm. But the volunteers that I've made and still got, you can't put it into words. I was very, very lucky to be able to do that trip and to come back and to walk into a job at England Netball and still to be part of a volunteering structure.
We've done pretty well so far. We've got this far in, and we haven't mentioned that Rose Award that you got in 2019.
Okay, well, yes.
Pretty special.
Special, of course. Embarrassingly. You know, one doesn't go looking for accolades. You know, the pleasure that I get from seeing other people doing well now. I've had my time. I've been fortunate enough. But to get that Rose Award, and particularly with it being a joint award with Brian Worrell from Hertfordshire, who again is a very close friend, and it to be because of our England Netball Archive. Because that, well, it's archived, but it will be our future. And the work that him and I and other people have done, Joe Mills, have been involved with doing it, was a surprise. Without a shadow of a doubt, Andy, I was, you know, I'm honoured to have got an Honorary Life membership. Mm. I still can't understand why I've got that, but that Rose Award, and doing it in a lovely venue as it was up in Liverpool, again, sitting on an East Region table, which we were doing, and thinking, well, okay, we've got this award, and I find it difficult to talk about awards, because for me, that's not what it's about. It isn't for anybody, and I think that's maybe why we don't get many people coming forward, because people don't always talk about what they've done. But it was very, very special, and I'm able now, in the place that I now live, to be able to have that that award up on my mantelpiece.
And it is important that we obviously recognise the early years of the game, but also have something in place in the future where we can find out more about the likes of Fran and George and...
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. You know, we can go back, yeah. You know, there's, we need to be recording every player's history, not just their caps, but the coaches as well, the team managers, the people that give in any team of players. Not necessarily all, it has to be about our history, and that will be England, but in the regions, they have to start recognising the people as a player, as a coach, as an administrator, have done to develop within their own region.
I spoke to Lindsay, and I did offer a signed Tamsin ball, but she said there was about 50 of them there already.
No, I know. Well, you see, that's interesting, isn't it? What sort of gift does one want? You know, there are girls out there, or boys actually, who would relish having a signed ball by somebody. You know, but again, you know, Tamsin is part of an era, and now there are these younger players coming up that, you know, like with umpires, you know, when I was umpiring, you know, there was none of this accolade or whatever, whereas now coaches and umpires are being recognised, not in the same way as players, but they are. They're getting, you know, people are noticing, people are wanting, as you said, to have selfies, not just with the players, but with other people as well, which is fabulous.
The archive itself is plenty of programmes and dresses and photographs. Has there been anything in particular, maybe an addition that you've seen that's surprised you?
You know, you mentioned about dresses and things like that. You know, we don't have those in the archive. Not like they might do in other sports. We need to. We need to get, you know, I think the only two pieces of material that we actually hold in an archive is the shirt that was worn by an Essex player, Margaret Eve, who went to the 1960 World Championship. And for me, one of the most treasured things that we have in the archives is, in the old days, if you were a player, you were a coach or an umpire, at a certain level, you wore a red blazer. And everybody was very proud of that. And we're holding the red blazer belonging to Jean Robinson, who was captain just prior to the 1960 Worlds, but could not go because she's injured. And for me, I have her as a very good friend now, and she's over 80. And it's just fabulous to know that we've got some of those archives from way back, but we need to start collecting some of that memorabilia that is is now out in the field, like Gary has donated his gold whistle when he did his 100th. And, you know, it's things like that that we have to start to collect, not just from way back in the 30s and 40s.
We spoke to him at the World Cup, and he said that he would naturally love to keep something like that because Acme did a really nice job on it, but he said, no, off to the archives straight away. So it's things like that, and obviously the players and the officials, and just how we can contribute to the archive and help make it stronger in the years ahead.
Oh, yes. I mean, you know, and with digital, and I'm not that well familiar with too much digital of how we store things, but as the archives are at Huddersfield University at Heritage Quay, the staff are so experienced that they are guiding us as to how we can store stuff and everything like that. And hopefully every region will start to look at their own archives, not just what is happening now, but what has happened before. But it's a big job. And again, probably volunteers will end up doing that.
Nominations, then, they're open for this year's Golden Globes.
Yeah.
And do you reckon it'll be open to anybody, really, regionally?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, what is there? There's 8 awards, isn't there? Varying things. One good thing about this year's awards, they're all the same, but what England Netball has taken out, previously it used to be that you had to have outstanding contribution into whatever role it was, but it had to be predominantly during the past year. Now they have taken that out, and that ought to open the doors for more people to come through, because sometimes it's difficult to say, oh, what did I do this year? But actually the year before and that, I did so-and-so. Mm. And I think more people should come forward for that. And, you know, but how do you get people to actually come forward? Because a lot of people will think they're showing off, oh, I've done this, I've done that. Well, actually, they need to show off, because a lot of the local leagues and county associations would not carry on if it wasn't for these people who actually, just as you said, and we agreed, do it for the love of the sport, but don't actually want any recognition, but they need to. And I don't think we know enough about our local people. Even our local people don't know enough about each other to say, well, actually, you know, she has done a lot, you know, let's put them forward. And the only award, and it's not part of the Golden Globes, it's one of those national awards, it's the Long Service Award, that actually can be a self-nominating one. And there's a lot of people that I know, I'm trying to think, you've got to have done a minimum of 25 years. Well, if you were 20 and getting involved on a committee, not as a player, this isn't related to playing, that only makes you 45.
Yeah.
There's got to be a lot of people who are, you know, even, well, gosh, there's youngsters, isn't there, now they're coaching at local leagues, and that might only be 16 or 17, which minimum age you can be a coach, and they're already doing that, and they're probably still only just under 40. We need to encourage our counties and our leagues to support all of those people. And from a long service person, you might well find somebody who could take an administrative role, like our Mary Bullock Award. That's an administrative role, and there's so many. And I don't genuinely, Andy, know how we can make people get nominated, because you could say, well, I've done all of this work, but it sounds big-headed if you go to somebody and say, well, don't you think I qualify for this? But somehow we've got to encourage them to do it. And talk about what they've done. I don't know.
Yeah, that celebration, I mean, maybe it's one of those things where, oh yeah, we do it on a week-by-week basis, and it's just part of the love that we have for being part of a club around the country. But it's maybe just saying, well, look, I am up at 6 o'clock to drive the minibus down to prem trainings, and yeah, I'll then get in and wash all the kit. It's things like that.
Without a shadow of a doubt. And, you know, they don't have it now, but cutting up the oranges and getting, even just booking umpires and doing things regularly, it tends to be one or two people within a club or even a county or a league. It tends to be the same people that do it. Because they do it so well, others will just sort of carry on. But when they decide to step down, that's the worry that what happens. And they won't step down, Andy, they'll just carry on. I know so many people. you know, that will just carry on because they love it and they don't want to lose it. But how do we put them forward? I think it's the ideal opportunity for this Golden Globes, for knowing that they've taken out this year specific for people to be able to say, I actually know people in my league that would qualify for that. And I'm thinking about it already as far as my Lowestoft league. I say mine, I've only been here 18 months. But there are people there that I know that have created a lot of good work within such a very small league. So I'm going to see if they feel that there's anybody that, you know, they could nominate to go for one of these awards.
And not taking anything away from past winners, but the fact that it's year 2020 and being a winner in the year 2020, the numbers look nice.
Oh, gosh, yes. Okay, yes. Oh, yes, very good. Yeah, no, you're right, it does. Yes, yes. That's a very good point to encourage. You know, we've come on to a year, it's like the year 2000. You know, whoever might have done things then, looking, well, this is great. But, yeah, you're right, you know, 2020.
Each one of the regional winners and it moves forwards, and I suppose it's a case of maybe if you're not truly aware of what region you might fall into, the best option would be the England Netball website.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt, yes. You go into the new Vitalise website, which is great. You know, I'm finding it quite
very
easy
nice
to get around. Yes.
And it's really easy to find information out as well.
Yes, and the funny thing is, Andy, if you can't find what you want, it's probably not on there anyway. So don't worry about it. But yeah, going into the section, make the game and the go to regions, people will find out the area that they're in, because Lowestoft actually is in Suffolk, but they are involved in Norfolk because it's literally just a step across and it's easier for them. But yeah, and all the categories are there. I've read them and I've printed them off to have a look at them and think, you know, there is a lot of people who've you know, contributed, you know, in my region. I could name a few that I think actually it's about time that they did something. Everybody hates filling in forms, but I think at the end of the day, sometimes you don't always want to keep some of these awards secret. Go and ask the people. Go and ask them what they've done. Doesn't mean you're going to get a nomination or that receive it, but actually a lot of people are from the East Region, particularly last year, a couple of people who got through and were actually through to the main ones didn't get the final award. The girl that was on our table, Sandra Harlett, who got the officiating award, she was just delighted that she got from a region to a national award, let alone not worrying that she'd won it or not. She'd won it in her own eyes, and it's just wanting to encourage them. But there's not an awful lot of time left now, and we really need to encourage people to talk about it. Don't hide the fact that you're going to go and ask somebody for information. Get them to give you the right information, because that will help any nomination. And I'm hoping that people will look at this as a celebration of our volunteer, because if we did not have them, I don't know where we'd be. I really don't, you know. The East Region have got theirs, so nominations have got to be in by the 1st of March.
Really great to speak to Sheila there about the National Golden Globe Netball Volunteering Awards. The important thing is, if there's somebody at your club, you maybe know somebody in your region that's really making a difference, let's get nominating. We have until March the 1st. englandnetball.co.uk has more information on the 2020 National Golden Globes. And if you're entering, good luck from us.
I can't put into words still how special it feels. It's such an honour to be asked to lead your country.
I'm under no illusion that being assistant coach and player at the same time is going to be challenging. And I look forward to meeting the challenge head on and doing my best within both roles.
One minute I've got tears coming down my face and then I'm like, oh my God, this is it. And it was like Monster had taken over me and it was pure elation.
A huge thank you to the Netball Show. You really have helped us at England Netball take our message to new audiences.